Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is my good friend Nerd Soul.
Hey everyone.
And we are just literally shooting the shit, talking about the things that we are watching because there's not a whole lot else to do these days except watch stuff.
Yeah, but there's some good stuff out there. We've got some good things. So, you know, there's time for us to all go back and like see things we've missed.
Now, are you focusing more on stuff that you wanted to see but never saw? Or are you going back and watching older shows that you did watch now that you can binge through them?
You know what? That's interesting. Kind of. That's a good. Maybe a little bit of both. Like, oh, look at this new show. I really like this new show. This is awesome. And then also a little bit of like, hey, let me go back and watch this again. Like, for instance, even last night, I went and watched Gantz again, which is like a weird and crazy anime, but I watched that again. But I've also been reminiscing and, you know, on when Supernatural was great, then it got bad, now it's good again, but it's also about to end. And I do have a new show, though.
Oh.
I think I told you a little bit about Motherland Fort Salem.
Yes, that's the Witches as Soldiers show.
Yeah. And I like it.
Really?
I like it a lot.
Okay, tell me about it, because I have not checked it out yet. I've been poking my head in a few other things. I have not gotten to Motherland Fort Salem yet.
All right. Well, the premise is kind of like alt history and supernatural. And way back when they were, you know, about to, you know, burn this witch at the stake, right now her name is General Alder. I don't know if she went by another name, but at the time she said, hey, if you don't kill me, we'll fight your wars for you and win them. So ever since then, she kind of tied the witch's fate to the U.S. military or whatever. But it was a survival, you know, tactic. You had to, you know, give something to get something, I guess. Of course, you know, at the time, the witch hunts and everything were probably going crazy. So she had to do what she had to do. But flash forward through the years, now this is like a full military outfit, and every single witch, once they become, I think, 18, get drafted straight into the military. And if you look at the trailer, you're like, oh, it's a bunch of girls. This is going to be like Charmed in the military. No, this show plays it straight in a way where I'm like, okay, all right, I'm with you. You got this terrorist group they are not playing. Like real death happened. Like blood, slit throats, craziness, you know, bombs and stuff, people dropping like flies. It's a real show. This isn't like I guess you could say like teeny bopper type of show. And they get into the horrors of war, the horrors of using, to a certain degree, almost child soldiers, because even though they're supposed to be 18, they look a lot younger. And so now you're looking at a girl who's 18, the actress might be like 20 or something, but she looks like she's maybe 16. So now you're like, yo, these are kids. Like, they're not even, like, they're super young. Like, we should not be putting them in danger like this. And then they fill out a lot of world building with kind of like what they call the Hague, which is, I guess, like the United Consortium of Witches Worldwide, I guess you could say. And it's a lot of fun to watch. Like, one thing, they had something that I don't think I've ever seen on a show or a movie ever, which there's a black mother and daughter fighting back to back against, the Spree, which are like terrorist witches that are like, you know, trying to stop the military's trying to stop. And it was a cool fight scene. Like, I mean, for a show that I thought, when you look at the promo art, it's just like three girls screaming at the screen. You're like, oh God. And you watch the trailer and you're like, I don't know. And then you watch the first episode and you're like, oh, why didn't you show me this in the trailer? Like, this is like a for real show. And so there's action, there is some melodrama, but for the most part, they come with it. Like the military ranks, the issues between the military and the witches' military, and then the witches and the US government, and the witches between themselves. There's a lot of world building there where it's like, hey, this is kind of fun to watch, and it's not corny.
Wow. Okay, I'm gonna have to move that farther up my my watch list. 'Cause I what was it? I checked out I think the first two episodes of Siren season three. I checked out the
Okay.
first episode of Vagrant Queen on Sci-Fi Channel. Apparently, the fifth episode. This past week's episode of Vagrant Queen just blew everything out of the water, and I'm like, oh jeez, I gotta catch up, because I saw
Okay. Now, what do you
literally,
think about Vagrant Queen?
yeah, Vagrant Queen. Twitter was losing its mind. I think it was Thursday night or Friday night. Thursday night, losing their minds about what was happening. I'm like, oh, I should not have been poking at Twitter. I didn't need to see that. I have to watch this now.
It's funny because Vagrant Queen is a show. I want to say I watched maybe the first 10 minutes or so, and I was like, the comedy style or the comedic style, I was just like, I'm not really feeling this. So now that I know, like, in episode 5, something crazy happens, maybe I'll go back and try to stick through it. But like the comedy style is just like, I don't know if I'm gonna like this in the long term.
And I understand what you're saying. Vagrant Queen is based off of a comic book series, and I had heard about the comedy that was going to be in the show, and I waited, and I'm not a fan of comedy at all. I know it's sacrilege, but
I hate comedy.
I thank you. I am not the only one. Sitcoms, I despise them with a passion. I'm talking fire and brimstone hatred of them. I
Okay,
tried.
maybe not. Maybe I'm not that far. I do like sitcoms. Oh,
No, no, no.
they do get, redundant from time to time, but for the most part, sitcoms I can roll with
No.
every now and then.
I can't take it. I cannot take it. I think, and I'm gonna age myself here. I believe the last sitcom I was able to watch might have been WKRP in Cincinnati.
Wow.
I'm sure there was something since then, but if it was in the previous century, it was nothing new. 'Cause I sat with some friends of mine. And these are good friends, husband and wife, and they loved the Drew Carey show to death. And I'm like, I understand Drew Carey. He's funny. I saw some of his solo stuff. It was funny. I'm sitting here watching the sitcom with them. They are laughing up a storm. And I'm sitting here going,
And you're just sitting there with an ice box in your heart.
yeah, I'm sitting there like, this is, I'm like, why is that funny? You're gonna have to explain, why is that funny? It's like, that's not funny. That's just cruel. That's just them being mean to the fat lady with the heavy makeup. That's cruel. If I was her,
Yeah, there are
I'd
some
have
times
come to
where.
work. I'd have come to work with a shotgun just for Drew Carey's balls.
Yeah,
I'm like,
I understand there are, because there was that period of comedy where it was like, well, it's funny if it's mean. And don't get me wrong,
yes.
there always has to be a but for every joke. A joke doesn't work without, whether somebody's falling down or someone's saying to someone. But there is a point when all of your comedy is at the expense of one character. And Usually I like sitcoms where everybody shares into, like there's Barbstorm this way and that way, instead of like there's only one character that's kind of like the pincushion for the whole show, and it's they don't really share in
And
the pain.
why does there have to be pain? Why do all of the funny situations have to involve pain at someone's expense? What is that? Like, I never understood Friends. I never. That's
Is there a
not.
style of comedy that nobody, because even if you tell like family, like dad is, you making fun of your dad or making fun of like, say, your mom did something crazy, or there's
See.
usually some type of,
There's a difference between making fun of a misunderstanding or a mistake that somebody made and actually making fun of that person for just being. There's a
True,
difference.
true. Good
There's a
point.
difference.
Very good
If
point.
you have a situation where dad comes home and he sees a note on the counter that's meant for someone else, but he thinks it's for him, and there's a crazy sequence of random miscommunications that happens, that has the potential to be funny. But if somebody is, somebody makes a genuine mistake or has something happen to them that causes embarrassment and humiliation, and you pile on to that embarrassment or humiliation by reveling in and making fun of their pain to make you feel
Okay.
better, that is, pardon my French, effed up. And that seems to be the whole
Don't know
entirety.
if F does is actually French.
I'm trying to keep this a PG, right? Just trying to keep it PG. But yeah, no, that sort of situation seemed to be what a lot of these so-called, frat boy humor movies, stuff like, all the movies like The Hangovers and all of those other movies and the sitcoms based off of them are anchoring humor in taking joy in the pain that somebody else is feeling from shame and embarrassment of a mistake or something else. And I'm like, how is that funny? How is
Yeah, and
popularizing
now I
that
will say
making
that
that funny? Anyway.
I will say that I enjoy the original Hangover for essentially being like the kind of like these guys get together, and whenever they get together, something stupid happens. So, but there is a lot of humor in there where it's like, this is kind of messed up. And I don't know if we should be laughing at this, but even the sequels with what Hangover 2 and I think 3, the one thing that I found interesting is at least they stood on the line of no matter where these guys get together, no matter what they do, something's going wrong because these are just bad people. So I did like that, but it I definitely, there were some jokes where I was like, we're really leaning on this a lot.
Yeah, so that's just it seems like the whole comedy industry went down this dark path of I'm in pain, so if I see somebody else in pain, I'm going to make fun of their pain to make me feel better. Ha ha, let's all laugh at that person instead of at me. And I'm like,
Actually, oh, go ahead.
and I'm like, how did that become comedy?
Well, we had because we did have this moment where a lot of comedians are getting, kind of taking a lot of heat for it now. We went through this moment where if it was offensive, it was funny. Like if it was offensive for the sake of being offensive, and it kind of grew out of, and not blaming, but it kind of grew out of like the South Park culture and then into the Family Guy culture. And it kind of grew out of that. Like, well, if it's offensive, it's funny, instead of like, well, it's not really a crafted joke. You're just like leaning on being mean.
It's that
That's why.
whole thing with the owner of the Washington mascot will not be named here, football team, Daniel Snyder. Well, oh, yeah. That name's not offensive to me.
It's... Yeah, and honestly, on the real, it's not like people aren't going to come to the stadium anymore if you change the name to, I don't know, the Washington, I don't know, footballers. Okay, maybe I'm not the best football team namer, but still, you know, like, you know, as someone who's from Virginia and you're from DMV area as well, you've known that team's name forever. And it doesn't take much to rename the team, man. I mean, okay, let's see, we order new jerseys. That's it, because the name isn't on the pants. So, I mean, new jerseys, oh, new helmets. I mean, it's not that big a deal. You act like if you rename the team that, like, I don't know, the world will, you know, upend itself.
Dude, he'd make more money in one season with fans rebuying the new branded merchandise than he has in 5 years, because he has fielded a horrific team and he doesn't care. But
yeah, it's been a while since they've been good.
Yeah.
And I will say one thing, living in Los Angeles, it's funny being somewhere where there aren't any Washington fans. Because even, you know, the reason I, you know, kind of paused myself is because even from what my uncles will call them for short, the last five letters or whatever, even that's kind of, it's still kind of offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing, to stop offending someone, it would cost you almost nothing. So, like, stop offending them. I can see if you were like, hey, well, if I change this name, it would cost me $10 billion. And I'd be like, okay, I guess I can see where you're at on a business standpoint, but this doesn't, it does nothing to you to just change the name, maybe a new mascot outfit. Like this, it costs you nothing to be nice. And like you said, you probably make more money because people have to go out and rebuy new jerseys, new hoodies, and new hats, and new, you know, jerseys and polos or whatever.
I mean, St. John's.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, St. John's University did it back in the late 80s, early 90s. And the only reason I even knew about it was because I was following the Big East for college basketball back then.
Okay.
Yeah. They're called the Red Storm now. How many people even remember what their old name was? How many people care?
Wow. Yeah, nobody's like walking around like, man, they should have never changed their name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once they changed their name, like, everything went bad. Like, nobody cares.
Yeah.
They just, well, no, what I mean is nobody will care if you change the name. Like, but you'll
lessen,
stop offending a whole people for something that will cost you. It'll be negligible.
Yeah. There will be less pain in the world and you'll make more money. How is that a bad thing?
I don't get it.
Well, that was a tangent I didn't expect to dance down.
So, what else are you watching?
Let's see. Siren, Vagrant Queen. There's a new TV show on WGN called Almost Paradise. It's created by Dean Devlin, which automatically has my attention. It stars Christian Kane, which also gives my attention. Here's the cool thing about the show. Christian Kane is playing a retired DEA agent. He has stress and hypertension to the point that it could kill him. So he decided to retire to one of the islands in the Philippines and buy a place there that he saw when he first started out as an agent. And this is the first television series for North American audiences that is filmed on location entirely in the Philippines.
Wow.
Yeah, they have some beautiful locations. All of the extras, everything is based and set in the Philippines. And it's gorgeous. And it's funny action. It's a little bit Magnum PI, a little bit what's the other one? Not Steve. Yeah, I'm trying to think of the retired cop who was always getting into trouble. A little bit of Rockford Files, I guess. Rockford Files, a little bit of Magnum PI. Okay. And so he's just trying to run his gift shop, but he's also friends with these two detectives in the local police station. And when trouble comes up, Alex Walker is always there to get in the middle of it. And it's a cute show. It's very lighthearted.
Always there to lend a hand.
What?
Always there to lend a hand.
Yes. Either get people out of trouble or make the trouble worse. He's there. And I'm kind of enjoying the show because, I miss seeing Christian Kane on the screen. Because I loved what he did in Angel. I absolutely adored what he did in Leverage. Leverage being another Dean Devlin production. And the popularity of Almost Paradise, which is the name of the show, WGN Monday Nights, IMDb TV has greenlit a new season of a Leverage reboot. 13 episodes. Yeah. Already greenlit.
I want to see what that ends up looking like, because Leverage was one of those shows that I wasn't like, this is the best show ever, but it was one of those shows that I loved kind of passively watching. Like, if I'm just hanging out and just chilling, it's like, let me turn on some Leverage. There's going to be some wacky hijinks. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You got a little heist going on, maybe a fight or two. You're going to have some will they, won't they with Aldis Hodges' character and the thief character, and then also with the main character, I can't remember his name, and like the art-steely girl.
Mm-hmm. The art-stealing girl. You have to understand, Leverage is like one of my favorite shows ever. It's also a Dean Devlin production. That's why a lot of the people you saw in Leverage were also in The Librarian, the TV series and the movies.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you look back at some of those, you'll see some overlap in those characters. The same people work with Dean. I mean, I've been aware of Dean Devlin since he was in like a movie in the 80s called Moon 44 that starred Michael Paré. He was one of the secondary actors in that movie. And then the next thing I know, I'm hearing about him and Roland Emmerich making Independence Day. And I'm like, wait, what? He was just in Moon 44. He's doing Independence Day? Cool. But yeah, this new version of Leverage is going to, Christian Kane's going to be in it. Beth Reese Graff, who played Parker the Thief, is going to be in it. Gina Bellman, who played the art thief girl, Sophie, is going to be in it.
Sophie, there you go.
Aldis Hodge, who played Hardison, he's not going to be a regular, but he'll be like, in for a couple episodes here and there, because he's got a full-time gig on another show that's either on HBO or Showtime.
Yeah, because he's got City on a Hill.
That's it. That's the one.
I think it's on Showtime. And he was just in a movie, I think. But, that could have been filmed like 3 years ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm, right. He's
already on something, fortunately, but, It's kind of like, oh, man, we kind of, get everybody back.
Yeah, but he's going to be in it, just not for every episode. And then Timothy Hutton, who played Nate Ford, he's not going to be in there at all. So they're going to reboot it somehow. But so they've got, most of the team back. They've got the Dean Devlin's producing it. I'm kind of wondering if my favorite writer on Twitter, Jeffrey Thorne, is going to be back writing for them or not. And
I wonder if he will be on that.
I don't know. I was kind of going to ask, but I haven't asked yet. But so there's going to be more Leverage. And if that show is streaming, it was on Hulu for a while. I don't know if it's still there. That would be a show to go back and watch in binge format because it is a delightful series. It really is.
It's one of those fun, like kind of like I say, like passive watching shows. Like if I'm editing film or something, I'm like, let me turn on, like Leverage. I don't fully follow it, but when I watch it, I like Brooklyn Nine-Nine is a passive watching show for me. Like, it's like I'm washing and folding clothes or something. Let me turn on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. There'll
Yeah.
be some dumb stuff,
It's some
some wacky things I can laugh at,
yeah,
you know.
background stuff that you need to going on while you're doing something else. That's what I did with CSI Miami. That's what I do with numbers.
Shout out to CSI Miami. Oh man, you put on the glasses like, wow.
I'm
Yeah,
sorry.
man. People, like, dude always try to say something cool when he take his glass off. Like, you're going to jail.
Oh no. It's
And
worse. The
it's like,
if you have ever looked at the rules for the CSI Miami drinking game, people are comatose halfway through the show. It became a game. I don't think it started out that way, but it became a game. You see it from the second season on. Every time, every scene that Horatio Caine is in, he has to have the absolute last word before they cut to black. Every
yeah, and
single scene.
it's like
Every
he's
single
trying too
scene.
hard.
I
And
have to
I remember
blame.
watching the show, and I was like, okay, you got Southern Belle. All right, Southern Belle is the blonde lady. That's Southern Belle. Then you got what's her name? You have Sissy from CB4. She's like the medical lady. Then you got I can't remember the other because I had like named them all.
Okay.
Like I don't remember their actual names because
And this is bad because I know exactly who you're talking about.
it would be on like late at night, and it would be like wow, and like and there's like leader guy who is Horatio Caine, and it's just like you're trying too hard, and then like the pseudoscience of the like, I feel like CSI isn't like this because there's way too many cold cases. Like, if CSI was really like this, we would be closing mad more cases.
People would be afraid
But
to be
yeah, that
criminals.
is definitely a passive watching show.
Yeah, people would be afraid to be criminals if what we saw being done in like all four CSI shows were active. Did you know that there was a fourth CSI?
What else? Okay, so there's regular CSI, then there's
Left.
Miami, there's Vegas, there's
No, Vegas is the regular one. CSI, the
oh,
original
Vegas is
CSI
the
was
regular one? Oh,
Vegas. Yeah. The second, the first spin-off was CSI Miami. CSI New York was a spin-off from CSI Miami. And then there was CSI Cyber, which was based in DC.
Yeah, I remember Cyber, and I remember trying to watch the rest, and this is no disrespect to the other cast members. I got love for everybody, but I will say, as far as the eye candy, Miami had the best crew. I'll just say that. Miami had the best crew, in my opinion, for the eye candy. You know what I'm saying?
Miami,
I can't,
okay. I will give you
because
that.
like
Miami.
when she was on the medical stuff, I was like, all right, okay, we'll see you up in there, looking at dead bodies. All right.
I have to admit, I like the team chemistry on CSI New York better. Those guys just blended together really, really well. And I've always been a fan of Gary Sinise's acting, so. But
Oh yeah, he's cool, but that Miami boy, oh, that Miami was the best.
tell me,
Oh.
I want somebody who is familiar with soap operas to watch CSI Miami, and because CSI Miami was a soap opera, plain and simple, period. There's no getting around
Yeah,
it.
because you had who was the corny dude that was also like, all right, it was you had Horatio Caine. There was another guy, not the trying to think. He was always in like a lab coat, but he was kind of corny. He was always in the office. Oh, also, the office was the sickest police office ever. Like, I'm like, did Google make your office? Like, bruh, you got glass everywhere. It's like super cool looking.
It looked like something out of a game developer's office, didn't it?
Yeah, I was like, man, your office is actually kind of sweet. Like, I'm not going to lie to you. This is a pretty awesome office. Like, you got glass everywhere, cool monitors. It's like you said with the, be like, we found a piece of a fingernail. We know it's Jonathan who did it. It's like, what? What? Like, there's no way that... Like, they were on, like, Matlock levels of, like, solving cases, man. Because...
Nah, they put Jessica Fletcher to shame.
Because I'm like, yo, man, if CSI was really like this, like, CSI... They probably made those shows to scare people from doing crime. And so people are like, yo, man, people get away with crime all the time. And there's like mad evidence. They'll be like, oh, I found this. Oh, it's a piece of a shoestring. That shoestring goes to like a New Balance. And New Balance is only sold at one store in this city. And then we got the tapes. Oh, man, but I did love that show. That was a perfect passive watching show, CSI Miami. If you haven't watched it, you gotta watch it, because it's perfectly like cop cheese. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's just perfect cop cheese. Even the young guy who was also in, I think he was in a Tyler Perry movie. I'm trying to remember. He was like kind of like, I'm the younger guy and I'm cool. And I think he dated Southern Belle one time. But anyway, he's like, I'm the younger guy and I'm cool. And I think he rode like a motorcycle every now and then.
Okay, no, like, okay. He didn't date Southern Belle, but he rode a motorcycle, but they killed him off at the beginning of season 3 and replaced him with another guy. Yeah, they did. Cool. The guy who was cool, but he was also a bit of a slob. Yep. They
he was
killed.
A cool guy. He had a motorcycle.
They replaced him.
That's how they ascribe coolness. They either A, give you a motorcycle, B, give you a cigarette. Like, there's one, or sorry, with of course Horatio Caine, they give you cool shades.
I love
corny reasons, but I love that show.
Yeah, but no, the other guy, Adam Rodriguez, he played Delco.
Delco was cool. He was cool.
He ended up dating Callie later in the series. But then when CSI Miami got canceled, he went on to Criminal Minds. I'm like, what? Wait, huh?
Wow.
Yeah, so he played out like the last 4 seasons of Criminal Minds. And Criminal Minds is good background stuff, but I can only watch like the first 6 or 7 seasons. After that, I can't watch it. It's just boring. And I'm like, what happened to this show, man?
Yeah, anyway. But that show is awesome. That show is awesome for like all of the wrong reasons, but that show is awesome. Because what's her name? The Candy Alexander is her real name.
Miami. Her name in the show is Alex Woods. Alex, yeah. Alex with 2 X's.
Yeah, and that's how you know it's like, oh yeah. We're in Miami, and Miami is hot. Oh man, it's so bad. But in like the best of ways.
And I'm like, trying to it's in syndication on at least 4 different channels that I can think of. And CSI CSI New York has never appeared anywhere until like last year when it showed up on like secondary ION channel.
Cause they this is how they did it. All right, so now I have the IMDb in front of me. Callie, she was the Southern Belle. Mm-hmm. So they had everyone who likes blondes on lock. Then they had Natalia, Boa Vista. Yeah. So anyone who likes brunettes, on lock. And then they had Alex Woods holding down the sisters, everybody on lock. So they made sure they had all flavors of pretty women on the show at the same time. They knew what they were doing. And then they had, what was her name? Yelena or Yelena. Yeah. This show was stacked with like, it, no matter what type of woman you like, they have you. And then on the men's side, they had Delco. He came through. And then they had Ryan Wolf, who he was corny, but he was still like, he was handsome, but
mm-hmm.
corny.
Mm-hmm.
So, so, they had Omar Benson Miller. That's the dude that in Transformers, he ran through the, yes. ran through the door of hell.
Yeah, and he is completely corny. He was completely corny those last 2 seasons. And it's so funny because he is so much taller than the guy who plays Ryan. It's hilarious.
Oh, man. Speedle. Forgot about Speedle.
Yeah, he's wow. he's the guy on the motorcycle. He's the one that they killed him off.
Because I couldn't remember his name. He was just like, cool motorcycle guy. But yeah, this show had like everything, because I remember Alex Woods. I was all about Alex Woods. Then I had a friend that liked Natalia. It was all about her. Then I had two other friends that were like, what's her name? Yelena.
Yeah,
and then
Yelena.
One friend like one liked Callie. So like all of us were like, this show is awesome. This show is stupid, but it's awesome.
Okay, here's something for you. The actress who plays Yelena, she was actually Horatio's sister-in-law. She is in a show called Project Blue Book on History Channel. She is the one. She's the one who was handling. Yeah, she was the one who's handling the Russian spy.
Wow.
Yep.
But yeah, that. Oh boy, that show, that
CSI Miami.
Whew.
How did we get off on that tangent? Anyway, but yeah, no. Project Blue Book, show. Project Blue Book, History Channel. Go watch it for free on the History Channel app or on the History Channel's website if you want to catch up. What else? You said you were watching Supernatural.
Yes.
And this is the final season, 15 years of Supernatural, which is kind of funny because it March 31st, 2020 of this year, was the 15th anniversary of Slice of Sci-Fi. Coming up on May 15th, 2020, will be the 15th anniversary of another podcast called Escape Pod, which features science fiction short stories.
Ah, cool.
Yes. And I mentioned...
There's a lot of history there. There's some good history.
There is some good history there because we have a whole lot of interviews from Slice of Sci-Fi, a whole lot of stories for Escape Pod. And the reason I mention that is... Escape Pod not only features Hugo-nominated and award-winning stories, but the podcast itself has again been nominated for a Hugo Award. And
cool.
Since I have been doing audio production work for Escape Pod, I was surprised to find out that my name was included on the ballot. So my name is on the ballot. The finalist ballot of the Hugos for this year. And I'm just went, wait, what?
Wow.
So I looked at the nomination and my name is there. I'm like, holy shit. So I get a pin. I get a finalist pin. And if Escape Pod wins, I get a Hugo. I get an award.
I get
the rocket. Like all of us, all of us who are named there will get rockets. I'm like, I could get a Hugo rocket on my desk just like JMS. Oh my God. That literally is when I fell out of my chair. But yeah, 15 years of podcasting. All of this podcasting. And there's a little bit of joy in knowing that people like the work that we do. You know?
Yeah.
Escape Pod, Escape Artists.
You want to have a good response, you know.
Yeah, and I've been a fan. I was a fan of all of the escape artist shows, especially Escape Pod Pseudopod, for years before I started working for them. And Slice of Sci-Fi, I remember Steve Ely, who started Escape Pod, being a fan of Slice of Sci-Fi, of the original show back then. So 15 years apart. In fact, one of our first regular guests was Hugo and Nebula award-winning Mer Lafferty. Her podcast back then was called Geek Fu Action Grip. And right now she's does Ditch Diggers, and I should be writing. So she's been doing podcasting 15 years. All of us are finally, all of us are finally shining in the light, going, "Hey, podcasting is a new thing." And we're sitting there going, "Nah, kid, sit down. Let us tell you a tale."
The lonely alien pet bravely waits for the family that may never return. An astronaut with seconds to live discovers just how good victory can taste. A mecha pilot and an aristocrat strike up an unlikely friendship. Take a ride with Escape Pod, the Hugo-nominated weekly science fiction podcast, at escapepod.org. Every week will launch you into an alternate reality, so buckle up, it's story time.
So anyway, Supernatural started the same year that Slice of Sci-Fi did. Wow.
Man, and I kind of, it's weird. It's this season, it's weird because this season has been kind of bittersweet. Because it's like you're watching it and you're like, okay, how many episodes do we have left? Because it's going to be over after that. And then it's like never, ever, 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 ever coming back. So yeah, it's bittersweet, but this season has been a fun watch, but not exactly what I expected. Watching the season, I was expecting, them to put the pedal to the metal on this one. And there's a lot of situations and episodes where I'm like, I feel like you're filling us up. Like you're giving us fillers, and we shouldn't be doing fillers in the final season. Like this, I don't know if this is what we need, but you also don't know that they're sending you on a certain particular journey so that you can at the end be like, oh, I see.
So none of those episodes that you felt were fillers, they weren't resolving old storylines from previous seasons.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Some of them do.
Okay.
So it's like, even though there isn't like a particular, there is, like we're not going forward against God, but they'll kind of tie something into where it's like, okay, well, all right, I guess this makes sense. There's this episode about it's called Golden Time. And they essentially, see that one of their friends' souls were, dragged down, and they got to go get them and everything and try to figure out how to, kind of like work with Rowena. And to a certain degree, it seems like, hey, this is a waste of time. But when you have relationships like Rowena, then you're like, well, maybe it's not a waste of time. Maybe this is going to pay off later. Because then you also have situations with what is it? Trying to think of the young guys like Jack and stuff, where it's like, oh, okay, well, we know Jack's still out there. Cass is doing things where even though he's on vacation, he's going to come back. So you're trying to watch an episode while not feeling fulfilled in the forward movement, but also wondering if these things are going to be threads that we pull on later, or are these things wrapping up old stuff? So I've been enjoying it. It's just I really wanted to be like, pedal to the metal, but they still got like probably about 10 episodes left. So I guess I can, you know, relax in that knowledge. And even though their hiatus has been way too long.
Mm-hmm. Now I thought I read something. They hadn't finished filming the last two or three episodes before everything shut down. Is that true?
At least from what I've heard, yeah. I think they still have like one more episode to shoot or something like that. But I guess that's why they went on hiatus. But they've been on hiatus since, their last episode aired on March 23rd. And they don't know when the next one's going to air. So
they probably want to be able to show everything from where they broke until the very final episode. And if they haven't filmed that yet, wow.
Yeah, because they completed 18 of the 20 episodes. So yeah, they have two more left to actually do. But you know, due to, of course, the pandemic, they had to shut down, and there's really no idea on when that'll start again. So everybody's just waiting. But I mean, we could watch what, five of the episodes, and they're not even releasing those. Because mm-hmm. Four episodes, I guess, because you got 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18. So you got five episodes that we can watch. Like, come on, man, we're hungry. We're hungry for episodes. But like, give us like one episode like every other week, maybe. Like, just, I know you have to stretch it out, but I mean, like, kind of want to know what happens.
All the Supernatural fans are sitting in their homes, acting like that plant from Little Shop of Horrors. Feed me, WB.
Yeah, it's like, feed me. We need this show. We want to know what happens. This is the end. And what are you doing right now?
So what, other than pining for Supernatural, what else are you watching? You watching like Nancy Drew, Riverdale, Batwoman, all those?
No other CW shows.
So you're not even watching like Supergirl and Flash?
No. I haven't. I gave up on those shows. I gave up on Arrow. I did watch Black Lightning this season. I gave up on Legends. And I'm trying to think if there's another one I gave up on. But yeah, pretty much the only thing I'm watching on CW now is Black Lightning and Supernatural.
Okay. Yeah. What about Sci-Fi Channel or the others?
One that I say no, except Disney Plus, because we have the final season of Star Wars Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, that's what I've really been in. And the final episode is coming up on May 4th. And I am super pumped for that, because they're ending with essentially sort of a movie that's been chopped into episodes. But these last couple of episodes are crossing into episode 3, Revenge of the Sith, you know, and what Ahsoka was doing during that time and stuff. And there's a lot of action. There's a lot of fighting. And, you know, that's right up my alley. And, of course, it's Star Wars, so I love that too. But I did peep on the Star Trek side. I peeped Picard before it was over this year. Mixed on it, but I do want to see where they go.
Okay.
Because I think we spend a lot of time on stuff that could have waited for later, or just not even, you know, like not even display it. But I did enjoy enough of the show to want to see more.
Okay. That's fair enough. A lot of people really, really were into it. Some weren't so much. Others were enjoying Picard more than they enjoyed Discovery, which I thought it would be the other way around, but hey, it goes to show. I don't know much about the Star Trek universe or Star Trek fandom.
I'm on the other side. Discovery is straight flame. Discovery has not missed a beat, and Picard started off kind of shaky for me.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, I know there are people looking forward to the return of both shows, so that's a good thing. We have,
yeah.
when we have these things coming back, those will be back. I think, I'm trying to remember what's coming up later. I think Winona Earp comes back in July, maybe.
And now that's a show I've never watched. I've never watched Winona Earp. And
I believe it's on Netflix.
Ooh, okay, okay. So that means I can check it out, and you know, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Netflix coming through in the clutch.
And I still have to indulge in The Expanse season 4, which is on Amazon. I have not dived into that. I will direct people.
Yeah, I've never watched The Expanse.
Oh, dude.
Winona Earp, when people told me about it, I'm like, am I too far behind to even start? Like, because you know how some shows you're like, man, I'll never catch up. But, you know, with the pandemic, you know, in general, you're like, oh, well, maybe I can catch up. Maybe I can, you know, work this out. Mm-hmm.
Well, like I said, Winona Earp is on Netflix. All 4 seasons of The Expanse are on Amazon Prime. I am seriously behind on watching Bosch, which is another police procedural based on a series of novels by Michael Connelly that I enjoy.
See, I'm kind of all filled up on procedural. So, like, I'll need a break before I jump into another one.
Understandable, because there are a lot out there. There are a lot out
there. Yes. And as someone who pretty much filled up on, filled up on on SVU.
Oh,
I was kind of like, yeah, I think I'll take a break.
I cannot watch SVU. I'm sorry.
SVU, I stuck with it long enough.
No,
I can't. I don't think I can do anymore.
No, I went through, I think, half of the first season when it first aired, and I'm like, you know what? I don't need this in my life. Law and Order: Criminal Intent, I like. Like the first, especially like the first 3 or 4 seasons, I could watch all of those over and over again.
Okay. All right. So I know you get a lot of shows. You know, you get a lot of shows from like Warner Brothers, whoever. Are there any other WB shows that you know you're catching up on? Matter of fact, any animated stuff or any anime stuff that you're seeking out right now?
Warner Archives, I missed out on getting their re-release last fall of V, the original miniseries, but I do,
wow.
I just got a copy of V, The Final Battle, which is the concluding miniseries. Let's see, animated. I am waiting, anticipating Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, and I just saw preview copies yesterday. They are going to be like the original Justice League Dark and the original Death of Superman. They're going to come with a figure. And the box that I saw, so it's going to be a big box package with the Blu-ray, or actually I think it's going to be 4K and Blu-ray. And they're going to have a figurine of Raven.
Nice. I'm not mad at that.
So I hope I am going to get one of those. Because like I said, Justice League Dark that's my jam. I love Justice League Dark. I love the fact that Justice League Dark was going to be a movie and is going to be a movie again. So looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, I thought they were trying to flip that into a show.
Is it a show or a movie? I thought they were doing the greenlit or whatever a movie for it.
See, because I thought, see, Justice League, I thought they were just trying to flip that into a show for HBO Max. I might be wrong.
I think you're right. I did remember that.
I said Twitter be lying. Like, Twitter came to my house and was like, hey, this is going to happen.
No, I'm on Twitter so much I forget what people say.
It's like,
but yeah.
Yeah.
Justice League Dark.
JJ, I guess, is heading it. But I don't know who's supposed to be directing it. It doesn't say, but yeah, it's going to be a series, which I wouldn't be mad at. Like, you know, that, because one thing that I think serves comic book material well is the more episodic television format, because, you know, you get to kind of hang with these characters more than just 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, I'm not saying that movies don't work, because MCU has definitely been a lot of fun. So I'm not going to act like it hasn't worked. But sometimes when you get to build those characters and hang around those characters a little longer, you know, it kind of sticks to your ribs a little bit more. So, yeah, I'd say I'm all about the TV show. I'm not mad at that at all.
I'm definitely waiting for that. In fact, there is one other. There is going to be today, May 2nd, at 5 p.m. Pacific, a viewing party, an online viewing party for Mortal Kombat Legends, I believe.
Mm.
Yeah, the new movie, Scorpion's Revenge, the new animated one.
Yeah.
So, like, if you...
I have not gotten my review out for, and people have like, been like, when are you reviewing this? I'm like, man, look, there's so much I'm trying to do behind the scenes. Like, it's like, I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've already watched the movie. So it's like, I just have to do the actual review part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that, but I keep getting caught up with like projects for other people or other things that I have to finish up. And yeah.
Yeah. I understand. Trust me, I understand. But for people who are listening to this Saturday afternoon, 5 p.m. I'm actually going to retweet with them, because the producer, the screenwriter, the guy who voices Raiden are going to be participating in the live tweeting for the viewing for the viewing party. So if you follow hashtag Mortal Kombat Legends, you'll see it. But what else do I have? This is how far behind on reviews I am. I still have not finished my reviews for the animated Justice League versus the Fatal Five and Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which came out, both of which came out last year. You know,
yeah, like those
literally
are
a year ago.
Those are like in the can, like super done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I have to finish my write-ups for those, and because I started them, I just didn't finish them. So that's what I'm doing with my pandemic time. I'm finishing up all these book and Blu-ray reviews that I didn't finish.
And the Corona timeline.
Mm-hmm. And hey, you know what? Some of these. Yep. I have swag to give away. You want to help me give away some swag?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, here's what I have up for grabs. And I may just give one of these away a week, you know, May, June, July, whatever. I have Gotham Season 3. I have, I think, Flash Season, it's either Season 2 or Season 3. I have a Lego Flash movie. I have Supergirl Season 4, Legends of Tomorrow Season 4, Doom Patrol Season 1. Some of those animated movies I just mentioned will also be in the mix. I have to go dig them up. What else do I have? Oh, Supernatural Season 14 I have.
Nice.
Available.
Nice.
And I'm missing one. Where is it? I know I left it here on my desk, but I don't see it. Oh no. Well, I'll figure it out. But I think
tons of stuff, guys.
Yeah. I'll take a poll, see who wants what, and then start doing giveaways. I think the Supernatural would be of interest to people. Maybe the Supergirl and Flash too, perhaps.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. I think people would like that.
We should do that then. Give those away to folks.
People love that CWDC.
You know what show we didn't talk about a little bit?
What's up?
Swamp Thing.
The tragic life of Swamp Thing.
How could they cancel that show after just two episodes?
The thing, it didn't even, like, they launched it and was like, it's canceled. And then the whole debacle behind, like, oh, it's canceled because they're not paying and then we didn't get the tax kickback. And then, you know, we don't know how much we're getting. Oh, they were supposed to get this much. And I'm like, something's not right. Mm-mm. Here.
Yeah, that.
Like, something's not right. I don't know what it is, but something doesn't smell right about this situation.
Yeah, there's some serious shenanigans in there. I'm thinking somebody else really owns Swamp Thing, and they didn't want to share the money, so they canceled it.
I mean, that's the money.
It will come down to money, because if it came down to creative differences, we would have heard about that fight.
Yeah, this it's is always money. About the money.
This is money, but yeah, no, Swamp Thing is I've watched, let's see, first three episodes, I think, because they sent me the Blu-ray of it. They said, hey, we're putting this out on Blu-ray. I'm like, please send me one, and they did. I'm like, yay. Sorry, folks,
yeah,
I'm keeping
the show is good. It's a solid show, a nice small show, some good performances.
And you know what
I
it
really
reminds
wanted
me
to
of?
See where it went.
It reminds me of Constantine when Constantine was on NBC. It's very small, very compact, very impactful in the performances. I mean, look at how impactful Matt Ryan was as John Constantine. I mean, they brought him back.
Yeah, Matt Ryan has been so good that people have had him back on other shows. Mm-hmm. People have had him out to voice the character. I mean, he really. Now, that's one, when I saw the trailer for Constantine, I was like, they nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, this is it.
They did.
You know how you see like a certain actor and you're like, okay, not to say that no actor could do this, but this is the guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, even if we were to cast someone else, it would be a guy that looks like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Like, no, Matt Ryan.
Killing it.
Matt Ryan killed it in that, especially in that first episode. You got it across. You understood his pain at what he was going through and why he kept doing what he could do. And then they brought him back to voice him in the Justice League Dark animated. And they brought him back in Arrow. They brought him back for Legends of Tomorrow. So, yeah.
And they had a small animated thing for Constantine. It was like City of Angels or something like that. I can't remember.
City of Demons. Demons. Yeah.
Yeah, City of Demons. There it goes. Yeah, and so it's weird. It's like even DC knew, like, oh, this is the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember somebody saying, might have been Facebook or Twitter or something like that, the problem with Constantine was the network it was on.
Yep,
they
NBC.
Were like, if Constantine was on FX, it would still be on right now.
That should have gone to the CW. Like, that should have gone to the CW. NBC was the wrong network for it, plain and simple.
Yeah,
NBC was the wrong
when
network.
You think CW is, because sometimes I feel like Black Lightning doesn't fit on CW because CW has a certain specific type of casting. And I don't think Black Lightning or Constantine fit, but Black Lightning has been successful. So I'm like, okay, maybe it could have. Because, you know, Constantine was getting kind of dark, a little more edgy.
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, when someone said FX, I was like, you know what? There's less, I guess, pressure for ratings and stuff on something like FX.
Yeah, the problem is like, the problem no is life. FX would never have jumped into the DC Comics stream. And I think maybe that's
maybe
why
AMC or something like that.
Well, remember Lucifer? Lucifer was a Vertigo title, which was DC, but it started out on Fox before jumping to Netflix.
Yeah.
So maybe.
And don't we get a final season of that too, right?
Yeah. There's
someday.
Yeah, someday. They were.
That's another one of my passive watching shows, where it's like, I'll check it out because it's, even though it's Lucifer, it's still, for me, it's in the vein of Monk. You know, weird guy helps the cops. Weird lady helps the cops. You know, like, I mean, even back to Murder, She Wrote, you know, the weird lady helps the cops.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's kind of like, I put it in that box, but I do enjoy it.
But it is the Lucifer from the comics as, was it Neil Gaiman? Did he write a run of that?
Maybe, I think so.
Because Constantine showed up. There's an episode where Matt Ryan and Tom Ellis are there as Constantine and Lucifer, and he talks about Lucifer owing Constantine a favor because Constantine helped out Mazikeen.
Wow. See, now I got to finish watching it because I'm not finished watching it. Well, at least watching it up to the point where it's done-ish. So, yeah, because I definitely, and that's another, the guy that plays Lucifer, is he definitely pulls that off.
Mm-hmm.
I like the guy that plays Amenadiel. He pulls that up. Maz pulls it off well. I kind of like the stuff with Maz and the daughter, the little girl.
Yeah.
That's funny to me.
There needs to be like a web series with those two just causing trouble. But if you didn't realize that those two were connected, back in December, sometime before Christmas, Mark Bernardin, you know who he is?
Yep.
He went on Twitter after the, you know, appearance of Tom Ellis and Matt Ryan together, and they were talking about what they owed. He said, I'm going to pitch this now. I need to write this. He wants to write.
That's why he did that?
He wanted to write the miniseries about the road trip with Constantine and Lucifer.
Yeah.
Yes, that is why he wrote that.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to go on Netflix today and get up. Because I remember that tweet. And I was like, yo, that's a cool idea. And I retweeted it. But I didn't think.
It was connected
because there were new episodes that had came out.
It was connected to them appearing. Now I'm trying to remember if they were that might have been a Legends of Tomorrow episode, come to think of it.
Oh, maybe that's why I haven't seen it. But I will say this. I would love to see Maz and I can't remember the daughter's name, Trixie.
Okay, yeah. Lucifer.
Like, Maz takes Trixie to grandma's house or something. Just so, like, a short road trip that should be short. Like, hey, grandma lives 1 hour north of Los Angeles. And, like, 1 hour drive takes them, like, a week because of wacky hijinks. Mm-hmm. And it's just like.
Yeah.
Because, like, oh, man. That is because, like, her not understanding children and, like, understanding humans is funny.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when she's like, hey, I can get paid for, like, beating up people and bring them to the cops? Really? she's like, this is a job?
Yep.
That is funny.
But, I just looked it up. Tom Ellis appeared during the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover.
Because I didn't watch all of that.
Yeah, so.
So I need to go back.
I think he was in, I think they were in the Flash episode and the Legends of Tomorrow, but he was, those four shows did the Crisis on Infinite Earths crossover. Tom Ellis appeared in that.
Cool, because I think I want to say I watched the Black Lightning and the Green Arrow episode or something. I watched the Black Lightning and the Supergirl episode, something. I watched two of them. I can't remember which one, two I watched, but it was Black Lightning, I think, and like Supergirl or something like that. And so I didn't watch them all. So yeah, cool. I'll check that out today because I got to see them two together.
Yeah, and that those two appearing together is what led to Mark's tweet about them doing a road trip miniseries.
I would watch someone like I'm in a DL or something to see them both together on that road trip and be like, no, you two can't be together. No. I don't care what's going on. Like, y'all, no. It's kind of like you have the two bad kids that sit in the back of the class. It's like, you need to be separated.
That's what like, makes it so fun. Can you imagine those two on a road trip in the black Corvette? Oh, my God.
And the story writes itself. Like, you can just be like, it doesn't matter what they're going cross country for. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, for some reason they can't fly and they got to drive. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just wacky hijinks ensue. You know, some horror stuff, some comedy stuff, some gory stuff. Like, because with those two, you can dip in and out of a little comedic, a little bit of the like, okay, this is actually kind of scary. And then, you know, back and forth.
Yeah. And if you look, I think if you look back in that tweet now, you see a lot of people reusing that one Futurama meme, shut up and take my money.
Yeah, because it's like, I definitely, you know, you can use that, like, after Lucifer is done, you can shoot a movie where it's like, oh, between episode, you know, 14 and 15, this happened.
Yep.
You know, you can just be like...
Do like a 6-episode miniseries, and it would be glorious.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun to watch.
Oh, goodness gracious. So I have to figure out what I'm going to give away first. Or maybe I should just ask on Twitter, hey, which of these should I give away first? And just take a poll. Because I haven't taken a Twitter poll yet. I probably should.
Yeah. And see, I do it the very boring way whenever I do stuff like that. So I don't have to pick and choose. I just do everything in alphabetical order. So, but that always works for me. Either alphabetical order or reverse alphabetical order. It's easy. It's like, you know what? Hey, but that's not the fun way though.
I will see how hard. I will probably do alphabetical first or chronological, oldest to newest.
I'm like, yeah.
That might work.
Yeah, people like that. They'll like that.
Yep. So tell the people where they can find you online to go explore more of your stuff. And people, I'm telling you right now, his overviews for Evil and for Watchmen, you need to watch those.
Yeah, Evil was fun. I can't wait. Well, who knows when it'll come back. But Evil was a show where I was like, wow. I did not expect, like, it went from like, hey, Luke Cage is in this, let me check it out, to like, ooh. But especially the way they ended the season, I was like, oh, you mother. But NERD, SOUL, Nerd Soul, Hip Hop and Geek. You can find me mostly on YouTube, but also on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I have podcasts as well. So if you don't want to see me, you can listen to me. If you don't want to listen to me, you can just like open the tab and just like mute it. But besides that, come through. We can talk hip hop. We can talk geek stuff. Sports. We'll be getting into gaming a little later this week with some greatest hits between Marvel Contest of Champions and Street Fighter V. I'll be playing Streets of Rage 4 soon. I'll be reviewing Mortal Kombat sort of soonish. And I got some other stuff coming down the way. So yeah, come on through and let's chill.
Now, do you have a Twitch channel where people can watch you play?
No. Well, I have a Twitch channel, but I haven't put anything up there yet. I'm still getting my everything set up to play live because going live for like reviews on television and playing live is like a whole nother level. Like the signal strength has to be a lot stronger. So just trying to make sure that I don't have any like Teddy Riley versus Battle mishaps when I go live.
I heard about that. I felt so bad.
Yeah, because and people, and I know a lot of people made fun of him, but honestly, to his credit, you know, Instagram isn't really the place for something like that. Mm-mm. You know, like if he would have done that on, say, YouTube, it would have went off without a hitch. But, you know, trying to do that, you know, on Instagram is just, Instagram can't handle that.
Unreal. Unreal. And you can find out more about Slice of Sci-Fi, of course, at sliceofscifi.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Slice of Sci-Fi. We're also on YouTube. Just do a search for Slice of Sci-Fi. I am still putting together new playlists for new videos curated from around the geekosphere. You can listen to, I'm doing a curated list for comics and gaming, maybe gaming, but mostly comics, and then another curated list for writing, since a lot of people have gone to the social medias with writing tips, writing advice. Authors who were supposed to be going on book tours, who have found their tours canceled, are doing virtual tours or virtual interviews. So I'm going to start curating some of those and going to have some fun with that. And like I said, Twitter, YouTube, sliceofscifi.com. If you want to help support the show, we have a Patreon page, patreon.com/sliceofscifi. And what else do we have? Yes, keep an eye out on Twitter. Sometime this weekend, I'm going to put up a poll for a couple days to see. It's like, hey, which of these are you interested in? And then we'll do giveaways for them over the next coming weeks. How's that sound?
Super cool.
Well, thank you, Nerd Soul, for joining today for this little I don't know, what would you call this? Just a geek rambling session?
Yeah, just a, you know, like you say, you know, just kicking it, just hanging, you know, talking about fun stuff like CSI Miami.
Uh-huh. I think we spent a little long in CSI Miami, but hey, come on. The CSI shows are science fiction, right?
Yeah, definitely a lot of pseudoscience in there.
Oh, cool. Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you for listening. And we will be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi next week. Take care.